Okay, guys, here we go. Rishon Rashi, Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim is gigantic. It's all of, there's a lot of Nezikin. You have to really know Mishnayos to understand all the Rashis in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay. There's a famous Rashi here that Rav Shechter Shlita likes to quote, the first Rashi. Lama nismucha parshas dinin leparshas hamizbeach. Why does the Torah mention these halachos of Choshen Mishpat right next to the Mizbeach? What's the end of Yisro about? The Mizbeach. And then we start Mishpatim. What's the connection? What does Rashi say? Lomar cha she'tasim ha-Sanhedrin etzel ha-Mikdash. That the Beis Din HaGadol is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, right next to the Azara. The base, it's like this. It's usher to sit in the Azara unless you're from Malchus Beis David. And the Sanhedrin had to sit. They sat. So the room they were in was chetzi chetzi. Half was the Azara, half was out. So what do you see? You see, Rav Shechter always says, that the Beis HaMikdash, aside from being the center of Avodah and Tefillah, and aside from being the center of Torah Shebichsav, which is the Aron, it was also the center of Torah Sheba'al Peh. That we want that the Torah Sheba'al Peh leaders are in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash, that's why Rav Shechter says that when there's more Torah Sheba'al Peh in Yerushalayim, that's a step towards the Geula. Because anything which brings you back, this is a deep idea, anything which brings you back closer to what the Beis HaMikdash gave us, brings us closer to the Geula. So since the Beis HaMikdash was the center of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the more we bring Torah Sheba'al Peh to the Old City, Netziv is not a bad example, right next to the Kotel, you're getting closer to the Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Shechter calls that a step towards the Geula in his writings. Very, very deep idea. It's based on this Rashi. We don't normally think of the Beis HaMikdash being the center of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it was. Okay, that's the first Rashi on the Parsha. Next, it says, Tosim lifneihem, place them before them. This is for the teachers in Am Yisrael. Who could Rashi? The second Rashi on the Parsha. It isn't enough. Eshna l'aperek, l'achashtayim l'sholosh pamim, achay estir b'fiyem b'mishnasa. I'll teach it a few times, they'll memorize it and move on. No. And I don't have to make them understand everything and the reasons behind it. A Rebbe's job is to make everything clear, make the simple pshat clear, try to make the reasons clear, the explanation clear, so it's like a set table and you're ready to eat. That's why it says, Tassim lifneihem. A teacher's job is to make clear that people can understand and use it and learn it. So that's a big deal. The goal is not to confuse people. The goal is to set the table. Rav Shechter Shlita does this all the time. Okay, he's in Israel now. I told you.
So there's an angel?
Yes. You weren't here. You weren't here. I have this one footnote I wanted to add to the Purim book. So I waited there. When I got there, he wasn't there yet. I figured I'd wait 5 minutes. I waited 5 minutes. A cab drives up. So it may have been a tefillah shav to daven that Shechter was in the cab, because either he is or he's not. So I don't think I davened, but I was hoping he was in the cab. And he and his wife came out, so I helped him down with their suitcases. And then I waited a few minutes. Then they came out for dinner, and as he was bringing his stuff over, his soup, I said, Rebbe, I'm reprinting my Purim book. And there's a kasha on something that I'm quoting one of your ideas, and someone asked the kasha, I want to get a teretz. And he said, sure. So I asked him, he had a teretz. He said, look at this source, that source. It was very exciting. So that'll be in the book, Bezat Hashem. Very exciting. Here we go, next. An Eved Ivri works for 6 years, but if he wants to stay longer, then he can stay till the Yovel. And what do you do? Ratz Adon Efes Asno. You put a hole through his earlobe. Why the ear? Okay. Oh. So how did he become an Eved Ivri? So one way is you steal, you owe money, you can't pay your debt, so you're sold into slavery. So look at Rashi. Mara, this is in Pasuk Zayin Vav. Mara ozen l'ratza, mikol shai v'erek shebaguf, Rami Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ozen zo sheshama lo tignov, v'holach v'gunav tirza. It's a punishment. You shouldn't have stolen. Didn't you hear in Har Sinai, don't steal? So it's a remez, you stole, and that's why you're in trouble. Good? Then there's another idea. Ozen Shishama Har Sinai, ki Yubin Yisrael avadim, v'holach v'kana odom li'atzmo, tirza. This guy sold himself into slavery. He wants to stay longer. We're not supposed to be slaves to other people, even to other Jews. Where avadim says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. Being a slave is a massively b'di'evit situation. We're supposed to be totally free to serve Hashem, and Eved Ivri is not. So not only did the guy hear not to steal, he heard not to be a slave. And if you choose to stay in slavery, then you get punished for wanting to stay longer. So, okay, that's a famous Rashi. Next, this is a pashut. This is an idea Rav Shechter says all the time. Pasuk Yud, the Torah mentions She'er Ksusa V'Onasa. She'er Ksusa V'Ona. So She'er means food, Ksus means clothing, and Onasa means what does it mean? Rashi says Pasuk Yud Tashmish, deal with your wife. This is one of the obligations and a husband has towards his wife. So Rav Shechter always says, what is the literal meaning of the word ona? Time. So this part of marriage, which is such, it's a central part of marriage. It's, you know, the idea that only husband and wife do together, obviously. It's such a central part. The name given is ona, time. That a husband's obligation is to spend time with his wife. It's a good word. That the yesod of the obligation is spending time with your wife. Very, very important part of building it. We discussed it and during the Shalom Bayis things, of a healthy marriage. It's a deep word from Rav Shechter. That this part of marriage, so private and as important, is called time, because the real essence is to spend time with your wife. All right. Let's go on. Rav Shai could teach this for 10 hours. He'd give you every Rashi, all the Mishnayos in the background. Okay. Here we go. Again, there are 1,000 Rashis here, but we'll just choose one to give you a sense of how Chazal work. Pasuk Kaf Ches. So if a shur kills an animal, so the shur gets skila. The shur is judge, and the shur gets skila. Then it says, V'lo yeyacheles b'sero l'bal ha'shur naki. And you can't eat the meat of the shur. Of course you can't eat it. It wasn't shechted. It was killed by rocks. Of course you can't eat it. It's an avela. Got the question? So Chazal asked that question. Look in Rashi. In the Beil Aser Bechil, of course it's Aser. So why does it say Leichel is Besaro? Afilu Shchato Leachar Shenigmar Dino Aser Bechil. The shore has the judgment in Beis Din. Beis Din passes the shore sky of Misa. Rav Shai would say the owner is Jewish, so he quickly checks the shore, hoping, you know, get something out of it. But once you have the din, it's usher ba'achila. Not only is it usher ba'achila, it's usher ba'hano. How do you know? Ubal ashor naki. The owner of the shore is clean. Nothing. So this is like we use this term. Look at Rashi says like we use this term in English. Adam omer chaveiro. Yetzaponi naki min chasav. He was cleaned out. You know the phrase. You were cleaned out of your possessions. So the lashon naki means not only is it usher ba'achila. It's Aser Bahana as well. So that's a classic way Chazal worked, the extra phrase, and it means that the shore is Aser Bahil and Bahana once you've had the Gemar Din. Okay, let's continue. Okay, this is because it's this year in Nativ. We're learning Hamafkid. Look in Rashi, Perakuf Beis Pasuk Zion. Al Kol Dvar Pesha Al Shor B'Chamor. Sorry, Pasuk Ches. It says the person comes and he swears. Yeshalim shnayim l'rei. You pay double. Look in Rashi, pasuk ches, the second Rashi. L'mercha kasuv shato ein pipikadon Lomar nignav heimenu, v'nitzrashmo ganvo, mishanjum ekevel. What do we call that? Towing, tainus, ganav. That's how, right? Hamafkin, you learned that? Most of you learned that this year. If the shomer is towing, tainus, ganav, and he stole it, then he himself pays kevel. Okay. Then, the end of Pasuk Ches, there's another famous, very famous Rashi that we discussed this year. I'm showing you that it's all in Rashi. If you learn Chumash and Rashi well, then you know a huge amount of the Yesodos of Nezikin. So what does the Pasuk say? It says you come to the Beis Din and you say, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh, that this is it. So it means literally, you say, yeah, the animal was stolen. But Chazal Habalim, what does Ki Hu Zeh sound like? What does Chazal say? This and not more. What do we call that? Moda B'miksas. Remember, this is the look in Rashi. Guys, it's all in Rashi. Look at Rashi, the end of Pasuk Ches, Perikov Beis. Mamash the end. Rabbi Seinu Zal Darshu, Ki Hu Zeh, L'lamedcha Shein L'chai Ben Oso Shvua, Elim Kein Hodeb Mixvas, L'omer Kach V'kach, Ani Chaya B'chav, Mosin Gnad Meni. He said, the guy says, this is it. I'm obligated this, but not more. But not that. So that's Hodeb Mixvas. So that's one thing we learned this year. Now, look at the Chumash. This pasuk is talking about a shomer. So what does it sound like? A shomer only has to swear when he's moder b'mitzvah. Is that true? Yes or no? Is that true?
No.
It's a machokas. It's a machokas tanoim. Whether a shomer is chayav a shvua shashomrim, even if it's not moder b'mitzvah, because sometimes say, look, Moda Mixas is mentioned here. Others say, no. What's the phrase? We had this in Rashi. Eruv Parshios. The Parshios are mixed up. That the Torah decided to put Ki Hu Zeh in the Parsha of Shvuas HaShomrim, but a Shomer does not need Moda Mixas B'chai B'Shvua. This is it. This, if you know this Rashi and you know that, then you know a couple of sugyas in Shas. Okay, so that's that. Okay, we also had Pasuk Yud. Mamash, we learned this year. Pasuk Yud, Shvu Hashem Tehe Bein Shnehem, Imlo Shalach Yado. The Shomer has to swear he wasn't Shaleach Yad. Why? Because if he was Shaleach Yad, then even if it was an Ones, he's Chayav. He's Chayav. He's Chayav even an Ones. That's right. That's Mamash here. Look in Rashi. Pasuk Yud. Yishav Eshkenu Dvarav. I Hulo Shalach Yad. Why? Shim Shalach Bo Yad. Arkach Netza. Chayav Onesim. We learned that this year. I'm showing you, it's all in the, Rav Shai says, if you know Chumash and Rashi really well, you know a huge amount. You really do. All right. Most people don't know Chumash and Rashi so well. Next, we'll do Pasuk Kaf Dalet. And that'll be it for the Parakuf Beis, and maybe that'll be it. It's later, right? Okay. Pasuk Kaf Dalet, a world famous Rashi. Im Kesef Talveh, if you lend money to poor people. Is there mitzvah to lend money? Yes. So why does it say if? What's the world famous Rashi? Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. Kol im ve'im shebatayra rishus. Im always implies rishus. What does rishus mean?
You have the option.
You have the option. Voluntary. Correct. Chutz mishlosh, except for three. V'zeachad mehan. This is one. You have to give tzedakah. So the word im normally means if. Here, the word im means when. When you give tzedakah, you have a chiyuv to give tzedakah. Okay, that's a famous Rashi. Got it? There's a chiyuv to give tzedakah, a chiyuv to lend money, whatever. So what's the obvious question? If the Torah meant when, then why did it say if? That's the obvious question, which the Mefarshim discuss. So Moshe Feinstein gives the following answer. It's a very deep answer. Here's the answer he gives. Rashi quotes that when it comes to mitzvos, Rashi quotes later in Vayikra, let's say keeping kosher. A person shouldn't say, oh wow, cheeseburgers probably are horrible. Ugh, who'd want a cheeseburger? So many carbs at one time and the mixture, ugh, it's cheeseburgers must be bad. So I won't eat cheeseburgers. No. A Jew should say, they've sold hundreds of billions of cheeseburgers. So they probably taste pretty good. But what can I do? Hashem said, no, I do what Hashem says. Efshi, I'd want to probably eat a cheeseburger, but Hashem said, no. That's what Rashi quotes. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, a major yesod, that idea that it's okay to want it, but Hashem said no, applies to Bein Adam Lamakom. But by Bein Adam Lechaveiro, you're supposed to train yourself to get to the level where you'd want to do the mitzvah even if it wasn't a mitzvah. There's an old lady who needs help to go across the street. So you say to yourself, oh, wow, boy, I don't want to help this old lady. You know, I want to help her get across the street. So annoying. All right, what can I do? I'm stuck. God tells me I have to help her across the street. So I'll be forced to do it. That's not the right attitude. A person needs stucco. Oh, man, I want to keep all my money. I don't want to give this guy stucco. It's his fault. Our friend mentioned, it's his fault. Well, you know, why he's poor. Why should I give him money? No. A Jew is supposed to have a sensitive soul that when you do a mitzvah of an unmechavero, you would want to do the mitzvah even if it wasn't a mitzvah. Even if the Torah would have said, even if, that's a deep word, that by a b'nai mechavero, a Jew is supposed to develop his personality. This is a beautiful, deep idea. Really beautiful idea. That you want to get to the level where I would keep the mitzvos and I'd want to give this sukkah and I'd want to help the person even if it wasn't the mitzvah. So the Torah says giving sukkah, it means when. But pretend it meant if. That's why it says if. It's a nice pshat. That's what Moshe writes. That's why it says if. Just one comment. When it comes to eating cheeseburgers, so it's true that Chazal say that you say, oh, it must taste good, but God said no. That's true. But there is a higher level, which is that once we know Hashem said no, then we train ourselves to want to do what Hashem wants. So like a cheeseburger becomes disgusting, not because it doesn't taste good, but because it's against Ratzon Hashem. You got it? That's like the next level. So I know it tastes good. Again, hundreds of billions. That's a lot of cheeseburgers. Hundreds of billions. It probably tastes pretty good. But Hashem said no. But you get to the level where to violate B'nam U'makam, let's say Nevin Sol Shlita. Like for him, to violate B'nam U'makam is like, it's like disgusting. I'll tell you one story, it's embarrassing. First of all, you notice this? This is for the article book about me. See this? It's broken. I got to get it fixed. Uh-oh, where's the piece? All right, whatever, I got to get it fixed. So how did it break?
Oh, yeah.
See that broke? Yeah. How did it break?
So
I'm not sure if this is an artful story or just totally embarrassing. There was a machokas amongst my kids whether I should tell the story or not. All right. So I was learning Shabbos afternoon before Mincha at a shtender, and I dozed off. My head like hit the shtender in exactly the right angle to break it after that. So I don't know, is that an art school story or a klutz story or both? Okay, fine. Well, that's what happened. So my glasses broke because I think what?
Art school
klutz story. Klutz story. No, it's an art school klutz. There's an art school klutz book. You know. Anyway, that's what happened. So my glasses broke because I did exactly at the right angle when I dozed off at the shtender. And anyway, so this is a board. I teach the halacha to the girls. So the halacha is if your hands are dirty, you're supposed to wash them. What if you're davening? And you scratch the part of your body, that's it. So what is it? You don't walk during davening, so you wipe them on something. So you wipe them on your, like, you know, your pants, your something clean. See, in the old days, their clothes were filthy. Our clothes are not so dirty. In other words, when you rub your hands on something hard, in the old days, they'd clean their hands by rubbing it on stone. The stone is hard, so the dirt, in a sense, gets rubbed off. Right? If you had dirty, you go like this, it rubs it off. So a girl said, well, she has a sitter. Some of the sitters have a little piece of wood on it. She says, can she do this? Can she do that? You understand the question? So I made the mistake of asking Rabbi Nevin Saul, and he winced. Chas v'shalom, in other words, to clean your hands on your sitter? So So, but like he wins. It was embarrassing for me to even ask. Like he wins. Like chas v'shalom. Like his whole like shoulder. The whole shoulder twitch. Like chas v'shalom. To consider cleaning your hands on your sitter. I was embarrassed by the question, but that's like on a small level the idea of like violating Ramama. That's a madrig. Okay, guys, that's through Perika phase. Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at a different time. Okay, let's continue in Perika Gimel Pasuk Aleph. The Torah says Lotisa Shem Ashav. What does this mean? So Rashi quotes from the Unkelus, and it's based on Chazal, Psachim, Kuf Yud Ches, that this is one of the laws for the Issa to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. Azhar L'Mekabel Lashon Hara. It means other things too. But Lotisa Shem Ashav means don't accept an evil report. Tisa means to raise. So Tisa means to don't raise up in your mind an evil report, i.e. don't be Mekabel Lashon Hara. The Gemara there says that Tisa is written with, the Torah doesn't have Nekudos. So the letters Tuf, Sin, Aleph can also be read Tasi. Tasi means don't cause others . So those letters can also be read Lo Tasi, which means don't cause others to raise up in their head an illegal report. So that, and that's referring to one who speaks Lashon Hara. So the literal pshat, Tisa, is the makabel, the one who raises up the illegal report in his head. But it can also mean, lo tasi, don't cause others, meaning this is one of the laws, the Chavetz Chaim's list of 31 mitzvahs and averos that you violate your Lashon Hara. This is on the list, lo tisa and lo tasi. Okay. Pasuk Ches, the Torah says, v'sholchad lo sikach, don't take a bribe. So Rashi quotes a very important idea. Afilu lishpot emes, even to judge truthfully. Once you take a bribe, even to judge truthfully, you're corrupting the system. You're corrupting the system. And certainly, b'kol shekein, kilahata sadin, certainly you can't take a bribe to corrupt the judgment and change it. But it's also to take a bribe. You can't have money involved in these things. You can't corrupt the system. Pasuk Yates, world famous Rashi from Chazal. The Torah says, Lo sevashel gdiba chaliv imo. So it says, so Rashi quotes from Chazal. It says it in three places. Shalosh mekamos, it says, don't cook meat and milk together. Here, and in Shmos, Perek Lama Dalad, Pasuk Kaf Vav, and in Devarim Perek Yud Dalad, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Why all three? Echad Lisser Achila, V'echad Lisser Ana, V'echad Lisser Bishel. Separate Isser. There's an Isser to cook Basa B'chalav, even if you're not going to get Hana, even if you're not going to eat it. This can come up once in a while. There's a separate Isser to cook Basa B'chalav. Nothing to do with the Hana that a person might get from it. Okay. Okay, we'll go to Perek Kaf Dalet. Now, Perek Kaf Dalet of Chumash Shmos, Parshas Mishpatim, is one of the classic examples of how Rashi and the Ramban read the Chumash differently. Rashi is willing to put the Chumash out of order, ein muktum mukhe b'Torah. The Ramban, and Rashi does it a lot, the Ramban really, really tries to avoid that idea of ein muktum mukhe b'Torah. He tries to avoid it. The Ramban assumes the Chumash is generally in order and comes up in many places, and this is one of them. That the Ramban has Perakuf Dalet basically in order. No, it is in order. There's one pasuk at the end he gets stuck. And Rashi has Perakuf Dalet, as we'll see, Bezrat Hashem, all over the place. How to read Perakuf Dalet. Okay. So, Pasuk Aleph. Moshe Amar, Rashi says, Parashazu Nemra Kodam Aseres Adibros, Be'arba B'siva Nemra Lo Ale. So, Rashi tells you that the first half of Perakuf Dalet happened before Matan Torah, back in Yisro.
And this is happening on Dalet Sivan. Later we'll see that it says Moshe got up in the morning in Pasuk Dalet Vayash came Baboker. So there are 2 days in this section of the Perek. So according to Rashi, the 2 days of this section of the Perek are Dalet and Hey Sivan before Matan Torah. Well, this creates some challenges in the Pshat. Pasuk Gimel says, Eis Kala Mishpatim. Moshe taught in Israel all of the Mishpatim. Well, that can't be the Mishpatim of Matan Torah. Matan Torah didn't happen yet. It can't be the Mishpatim we just learned in Parashas Mishpatim, those we got after at Matan Torah. So that's why Rashi, Lishi Tasso, says in Pasuk Gimel, what are the Mishpatim? The Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and Shabbos, Kibud Av V'Eim, and Paraduma and Dinim, which we received in Mara. So Rashi had to say that. Rashi can't say it's referring to mitzvos we got at Har Sinai because we didn't get them. So Rashi in Pasuk Gimel is Lishitaso of Pasuk Aleph. The Ramban learns the Chumash is in order, and this happened after Matan Torah, and the Ramban says the word Mishpatim in Pasuk Gimel refers to the Mishpatim of the first three Parakim we just learned. Much more of a simpler pshat. The Pasuk says back in the beginning of Mishpatim, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, these are the Mishpatim, and then there's a whole long three prakim. So the Ramban says that the word HaMishpatim in Perek of Dalet, Pasuk Gimel, refers back to the HaMishpatim of Perek of Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, which was the next three prakim. Very nice pshat of the Ramban. Okay. So Rashi holds all of this happened on Dalet and Hey Sivan. Okay, let's continue. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says, Vayechazu et halakim vayochu vayishtu. They viewed Hashem and they ate and drank. It's interesting, the art scroll translates it, yet they ate and drank. That it was a mistake. And that translation is really based on Rashi. Rashi holds it was a mistake what they did. Hayimistakimbo b'leiv gas tochachil v'shtia. They didn't. You're not supposed to be eating and drinking in front of Hashem like that. And therefore, Rashi says that they were fit to be punished. They were fit to be punished, but Hashem decided not to punish them now and save the punishment for later. So Rashi holds it was a terrible mistake that they ate and drank this Man Matan Torah. The Ramban here argues. The Ramban says, no. It was a mitzvah to eat and drink. It's a mitzvah lisoach. That it's a mitzvah lisoach bizman matan Torah. It's a famous machlokas Rashi and Ramban, which we have discussed elsewhere. Okay, I think with that, we will stop here for the famous Rashis on Parashas Mishpatim.